You'll take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We are, if you have not been here on these Wednesday nights, we're turning over to, I think, the 26th or 27th miracle of Jesus. So we're going through the miracles of our Lord that's recorded in Scripture. And just to recap a little bit, remember, not everything He did is recorded in the Gospels. He did so much more, the Bible teaches us. But there are about 34 recorded miracles, individual miracles, 9 crowd-related miracles. We've talked about all of that. I pray I've said this stuff enough that you are familiarized and you are familiar with Scripture and the miracles in Scripture. But tonight we come to that 26th or 27th miracle in John chapter 9. I know we preached this when we were in John, probably a couple years ago, maybe it was when we were in John 9, because we preached all 21 chapters of that book. But tonight we're on this miracle here. And it's just a miracle about, well, when Jesus passes by. And it's going to be a familiar miracle to you, but there's some things here we need to look at tonight, because here's the thing. We know people who need miracles in their lives. We know situations where people just need the hand of God to touch them, His loving hand, His caring hand, His compassionate hand, and to work a miracle in their life, whatever the situation may be. And not only do we know people who need miracles, but we need miracles in our own lives. You need a miracle in yours. When you really think about where you're at, when you really think about what you've come through, what you've been through, when it comes right down to it, at the midnight hour when there's nobody but you and the Lord and your head on that pillow, you know there's needs in your life that no man can meet, that no friend can meet, that no pastor can meet, that no counselor can meet. But there's needs in your life that only Jesus can fix. And so you need that miracle in your life. Well, I want to tell you something. If He's working miracles in John 9, and we look back through the pages of time and history to this setting, and we see Jesus working miracles there, we've got to remember what the writer of Hebrews said, and he said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if He was a miracle-working Savior in John 9, then He's still a miracle-working God today. We believe that He's able to work a miracle in your life, whatever you may need. Whatever the burden you carry, He's able to come to you where you're at and work that miracle. But let's read through the text tonight, John 9, verses 1 through 11. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he, and the other said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Well, listen, this is, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. As we read this text, we've heard this miracle preached on over and over. And certainly there is the huge, huge implication here. And really, the typology is very clear about spiritual blindness, that you and I, when we are lost in sin, we are beggars as this man was. We are spiritually blind. Until one day when Jesus came by and somebody told us about Jesus, somebody preached about Jesus, somebody spoke about Jesus, somebody sung about Jesus, and our heart, the eyes of our heart were opened, and we realized that, listen, we were just lost and undone without the Lord in our life, and we needed what He did for us on the cross, that He died for us, He shed His blood for us, He rose again in victory so we could have spiritual eyesight. And so, yes, that is a revival text preaching to lost sinners that they may be saved by God's wonderful, amazing grace. But I think it's even bigger than that. I think it applies in many situations in many areas. One of the things, I want to point out a couple of things tonight. Number one, I just want to look at the fact that Jesus passed by. And let me say this. We see in not only this text, but in many, many, many of these miracles, if not all of these miracles, that in each life that needed to be touched and needed to be changed, that Jesus passed by. Now, is it coincidence that He happened to be at the right place at the right time and somebody in need passed by? Or is it divine sovereignty and divine appointment that as there was a need in people's lives where people needed miracles, that Jesus passed by and was near during their time of need? Listen, I don't think it's a coincidence, and I don't think it's happenstance. I think that when God looks down and He sees His people and His children with need in their lives, that He passes by. He arranges a personal meeting between Himself and that individual that has such great need in their lives. And I'm glad that when He sees people that are hurting, when He sees people that are hopeless, when He sees people that have great need, that our Savior, that He sees them and is aware of them, and so He arranges the meeting and He passes by. That's what He did to you, if you think about it, wherever it was. Whenever you had need, when you needed a miracle, you're going to find when you look back that somewhere, sometime in that miracle, that the Lord passed by and made Himself available to you so that you could be saved by His grace, or so that you could have that need met that so grieved you and so burdened you, and only Jesus could do it. And so when we think back to times of our life when we've been low, when we've struggled, when we've been down, and then we think back to those times how that the Lord passed by and our circumstances changed simply because of the presence of Jesus. Now, the Lord passed by in this text, certainly so. But I want to tell you what else the Bible says here, that He passed by and He saw a man that was blind from birth. Listen, the very fact that Jesus saw this man when so many others were walking by, walking back and forth and not paying attention to this man. Jesus saw this man, which means He cared. And not only did He care, but He had compassion on this man. He was willing to stop, to take His time, and to meet that need. Man, think about the time of your need, how many people just passed by, just back and forth and back and forth. And nobody checked on you. Nobody asked, is everything really okay? I know you look fine. I know you sound fine. I know you said you were okay, but are you really okay? Think about all the people who just missed it when you were so grieved and so burdened. But Jesus here, He's not like that. See, He doesn't get busy like you and I get busy. He doesn't get distracted like you and I get distracted. I think one of the things that we fail to do in our churches that is such a tragedy is that we'll pack in our churches on Sunday mornings and we'll either just be in our own little world in which we just want to come and go, or we'll have so much on our mind from this past week and so much on our mind what's about to be ahead on Monday that we do stay in our own little bubble, and we kind of come in our bubble and we leave in our bubble, not realizing that when we gather together as a church, whether it's 35 or 3,500, that all around us that there are people in need. And maybe all they need is a kind word. Maybe all they need is encouragement. Maybe all they need is just a touch. Maybe all they need is someone to say, hey, I was sitting on the other side of the church, I saw you over here, and the Lord just told me to come over here and pray with you. Maybe all they need is someone to pray with them because they've not got to that place in their need where they can reach out yet and ask somebody to help them or ask somebody to touch them. Maybe it's such a sensitive need that they're just looking for help in any form and any fashion. I've told you before, I remember one time I went to the hospital and in Silva, North Carolina, and I was going up to see somebody, and there at the elevator was a man that I knew. I saw him come in when I was visiting or talking to some other people in the lobby. I saw him come in the hospital, and he rounded the curve and headed down the hall. I didn't know where he was going, but I got done visiting with these folks. I took off down that same hallway where the elevators were at, and when I got to that elevator, it's just around a corner in a little nook where the buttons are and the door is for that elevator. It was there he stood, and it was just me and him. I didn't know if anybody else was coming, and he didn't know if anybody else was coming. We didn't know who was going to wind up on that elevator because the elevator was around the curve of the hallway, just in a little nook, so to speak. But I just felt led that day. I said, well, his name was Sam. I said, hello, Sam. And I felt led to put my hand on his shoulder and ask him, Sam, are you doing okay? Is everything all right? And when I touched that man on the shoulder, and as soon as I uttered those words, a big man, he began weeping and sobbing immediately right there in basically the open. And that's the way we got on the elevator. He shared with me the burden that he had as we went up. Only two floors, a very short trip. But he shared that burden, and we got off and stood there and finished talking off to the side while he was wiping tears. But that just happened to be a day when I wasn't so busy and wasn't so wrapped up in my own little mind or my own little world. But I actually had a conscious awareness because of God's Spirit of needs around me and people around me. I wished I could live like that every day, but I don't. I'm just like you. I get busy and I think about me and life becomes about me, or maybe I just got other people on my mind, other burdens on my mind. Maybe I'm burdened and I need a miracle and I fail to see people around me. But I believe every Sunday and every Wednesday night when we pack in our churches all across this land, whether it's whatever the denomination may be, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, you name it, I believe that there's hurting people, people in need of a miracle. We never know when we're sitting beside somebody or in the same room with somebody who, well, they're down to the end of their rope. They've gone as far as they could go, and they really don't know what they're going to do after they leave that particular service. They just need somebody to have some care and compassion toward them. But listen to me. Jesus never misses it. He never gets so much on his mind that he's distracted from the needs of others. He never gets overburdened himself, where he can't think about the burden that other people carries. In fact, that's why he came, the Bible said. He came to seek and save the lost, but he also come to lift our burdens and to heal our hurts. That's what he come for. And I'm glad we've got a Savior today that is so caring and so compassionate. And I've told you sometime in the past, but Islam has 99 names for God. 99 different names for God above. That's not the God in whom we serve. We know that. But of all those 99 names, not one of those names refers to Him as a loving Father or a caring and compassionate God above. Can you imagine that? Well, I am thankful. I realize there's some that preach God out of this Bible as a God only of justice and judgment, and that He's just looking for vengeance upon sinners like me and like you, and that when we fall or when we fail, man, God's ready to strike us dead. I know there's some people who teach and preach that, but I also will tell you this. I think this book right here magnifies the goodness of God and magnifies the greatness of God and magnifies His care and His compassion and His interest in people who are hurting and helpless and hopeless. I believe it's so magnified in God's Word that it overshadows the fact that He is a God of justice and judgment. Because here's what we see. We see a God who is willing to do anything to bring sinners into the fold of grace. He was willing to send His only Son that the whole world could be saved. And so I see a God who will move heaven and earth to minister grace and help and healing in the life of His children. And so He is a God who is so full of grace and so full of care and so full of compassion as we see here. Now, let me say this, and I'm not going to really finish what I had in my mind. I'm going to finish right here. What I wanted to show you, and I think we showed it and demonstrated it. Some of you may have it in your Bibles wrote down in John 9, but we talked about this man's progression of faith. and how the rest of John 9 lays out, this man, he began to grow in his faith. And that's the way you and I are supposed to do. And I tell you this, if we're really growing in our faith, we won't get hung up on hiccups from our past. You understand? If you're hung up on hiccups from your past, if you're hung up on things from yesterday, then you're not growing in your faith. Because here's the thing, when you're on the journey, we talked about land nav one time. When I was in the military, we learned land nav from point A to point B. When you're moving from point A to point B, you can't make it to point B if you keep looking back. So you got to have a compass, and you got to have a map, and you got to know where point B is. And if you start looking back, I promise you, you'll miss point B by miles. And so there'll be no forward progress if you're looking back. And so it is with our journey of faith. And that's in that text. Go read chapter 9, and you're going to see how this blind man grew, and he grew, and he grew, and he grew, until he came to a full knowledge of Jesus as the Son of God. I don't want to preach on each of those aspects and those points. You can go find them and underline them, who he felt Jesus was at the time, until the Spirit grew his faith along the way. But what I want you to notice is this. The Bible says that this man was blind from birth. So one of the things we know from this text is for a long, long time, this man had carried this need. He had had this burden. And not at all as it is to be blind today, at least in America. In America, if you're born blind or you go blind, there's all types of resources out there available for you. In fact, there's many, maybe thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of blind people in America today, and they live independently. They have their own apartments. They make their way to their own careers, and the resources are endless. Well, not so in the time of this blind man. In fact, to be blind, you were kind of ostracized by society. And we see here that this man, that he had to beg, that he was resorted to begging. Social programs of the day to take care of the sick or the elderly or so forth. And so this man, for a very, very long time, had been in this blind and beggarly condition for a very, very long time. Probably, if we want to really talk about it and we could talk to this man, he would probably let you know that he was in that condition for too long. For too long. And so when we look at this situation tonight, we start thinking about the miracle that's in your lives or the life of somebody that's needed in your life or the life of somebody you know or in the life of somebody watching this service on Liberty Live or maybe tomorrow morning, maybe years down the road. I don't know, whenever they're watching this. They desperately need a miracle. And they need a miracle so bad that they've come to this place that they've needed this miracle for a very, very long time. And really, when it comes down to it, it's been too long. In fact, it's been so long that maybe this blind man didn't think that a miracle could ever happen. But in this text, what we see is that a miracle indeed happened. Because Jesus passed by, he came to the place of the need. And not only did he pass by, but he cared enough to have compassion on this man, to stop, to take time, to pay attention, to listen, to minister his grace, to heal, to pour out his goodness. And so, yes, this man carried this for way too long. Somebody here tonight, somebody on Liberty Live, if you could confess silently just to the Lord tonight, you would say, Lord, this has been too long. I've carried this as far as I can carry it, as long as I can carry it. Have compassion on me, Lord Jesus. But not only that, but I want you to notice that this man's parents are mentioned in this text. Now, this is so interesting to me. So I did not know this until further study this week. But this man's parents are mentioned. So I started thinking, how many miracles are parents mentioned in? And it comes to find out that this is the seventh and final miracle where the parents were involved in the miracle that took place. They didn't perform the miracle. They didn't contribute to it. But nevertheless, they were involved in it. The seventh and final miracle, this is it. Seven other miracles, there was a parent that was involved. Now, boy, that really changes this miracle. So let's start thinking for just a minute. So here's some parents, by all accounts, according to the text, everything was fine with them at the moment, but they had a child that needed a miracle. Boy, you know, if we could let people raise hands on Liberty Live or just raise our hands in this church and say, yeah, I've got a child that needs a miracle, I think there'd probably be many hands that'd be raised. That me as a parent, that I need to see God do a miracle in the life of my child. There's things need to be done that I can't do. There's things that need to be healed that I can't heal. There's things that need to be lifted that I can't lift. There's changes that need to be made in my child that I can't make. And so the seventh and final miracle where parents are involved in a child that needed a miracle. So let me say this, just thinking about that number seven for just a moment. So that number seven, as I realized this is the seventh and final miracle, the number seven automatically jumped out at me. Well, it's a number seven in the Bible. It's a number of completion and the number of perfection. And so God gives us in His Word, tonight we're on this text, God gives us in His Word seven miracles of children that needed miracles and their parents were involved. Seems to me that there's an emphasis on the burden of the parent for that child. So I wonder if there's any parents in here tonight that are burdened for their children, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a physical need, a physical burden. Maybe it's a spiritual burden that your child has. It's a spiritual burden on your heart because there's a spiritual need in the life of your child. I don't know. They've never been saved. Or they say they're saved, but they never give evidence of salvation. Their life does not prove it. Or you know they're lost and have never been saved. Or they're a prodigal and they're walking far from the Lord. They got a good life, yes. God's blessed them, yes. But they don't have a heart for Jesus or His Word or His church or anything like that. Maybe it's emotional needs in the life of your child. Maybe it's mental needs in the life of your child. I couldn't even possibly name all the areas where there would be a parent tonight on Liberty Live or in here who has a child that they are just so burdened for, who has a child who you'd give anything to see God work a miracle in their life. Well, listen to me. I want to encourage you that these miracles are in God's Word to encourage a mama and a daddy and to let them know that, look, I'm still a God who works miracles. But not only that, but I want to remind you that I know you love your children. I understand that. I believe you would fight me over your children, and you better have that much of a love for your children, because I'll sure fight you over mine if I had to. But now listen to me, but you better believe and write it down that there's a God above who loves your children far greater than you can. There's a God above that loves my children far greater than I could ever love my children. And not only does He love my children more than I love my children, but He knows my children's needs more than I know my children's needs. He knows what they need, when they need it, and how it needs to be brought to them. He knows how to work that miracle in their life. And so we see seven times when children receive miracles and their parents are involved. And God brought this on this night. I don't think God brought this on this night just to educate us about the number seven or the fact that this is the seventh and final miracle. I think God brought this on this night because on Liberty Live or here, there's a mom or a dad or a mom and a dad or a parent who, well, you've got a child. And just from the wisdom you have as a parent, look at that child. And you know that they need God's intervention in a miraculous kind of way in their lives. And so that's what God has fully intended on doing tonight. So I'm going to encourage you to do something tonight. I'm going to encourage you as I dismiss us to you to bow your head and to believe in divine providence, in divine sovereignty, that God didn't just bring us to this I think, 26th miracle on this Wednesday night by random chance. But God brought us right here and parked us because, well, specifically, there's a mom and daddy involved who's got a child who needs a miracle. Nobody may know about it but you. And even if you told it, nobody may understand it but you. And maybe you don't even understand it. But you know that you're here tonight by divine appointment. We're in this text because God wants you to know that He loves your children. And seven times, a perfect number of times, in a perfect way, complete way, He healed. And I would claim that on behalf of your child until you receive that which God has promised. Here's what I believe about God's Word. We tell you this all the time, but somebody once said inside of God's Word, there's 6,000 promises. 6,000 promises. Well, maybe so, but the way I see God's Word, I see almost every passage as a promise. And so I believe what we're looking at here is not just an occasion where Jesus passes by, but we're looking at an occasion where Jesus makes you a promise. And that promise is right here tonight. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you as a mom and a dad who loves your children, I'm going to ask you to cast your care upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. And I'm going to ask you to cast your children upon the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to take your children and put them in His hands. And to take your hands off of your child. Because the reason is they've never been really yours to claim and own to begin with. They've been given to you as a blessing from God to be good stewards over, to shepherd them, to direct them in the Lord's path. They belong to God. And if they're His children and they belong to Him, then He's responsible for their well-being. And so take your hands off of your child, put them into the hands of the Lord right now as we pray, and say, Lord, they're not mine, they're yours. Lord, You give them to me. You bless me with them, and You've allowed me to steward them in my lifetime. And now, God, they have a great need that I can't meet. Lord, they need a miracle that I can't make happen. God, what needs to happen in their life is something only You can do. You're not writing your child off, but simply what you're doing is putting your faith in the Most High God and trusting Him with your children. Father in heaven, our brothers, our sisters, tonight, I myself and those watching on Liberty Live, Lord, we have children that need miracles in their lives. And Father, I'm praying and asking You as a God who heals. And God, not just a God who heals physically, not just a God who brings that outward healing, though we believe You're able to do that. God, You're a God who brings inner healing. You're the God of all grace. You're able to make whole. You're able to restore. You're able to make well. You're able to make a wholesome individual come out of wherever they're at. And so, God, we ask You, as You're seated on Your throne tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that You'll bring miracles in our midst. And, God, I pray we'll be able to see the day when these children that are prayed for tonight, when they again walk in Your grace, having been recipients of miracles, and where, God, You get the glory for the great things that You have done. So as parents in this church tonight and watching on Liberty Live, Lord, I pray You'll see their heartache, You'll see their burden, You'll see their need and concern. And in Jesus' name we pray as the miracles come, hey, Father, we'll be quick to give testimony to Your goodness in our lives. Thank You for what You're about to do for Your children tonight. We love You. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name, that name above every name. In His name we pray. Amen. Stand up and tell somebody you're praying for them and that you love them tonight.